today we have people that are just sick of sitting behind a desk and working in the corporate environment, and they just want to be outside and manage their own schedules and spend time with their kids and their families.
Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Our guests today are Colleen Upham. She is the co-founder of Oh Dear, and Jeremy Shelton. He's the head of franchise development. Today, we're discussing a great opportunity to explore a niche industry that is addressing real public health implications while providing huge recurring revenue potential. I'm talking about Lyme's disease, babesiosis, Zika, dengue, West Nile virus, and the dozens of diseases carried by ticks and mosquitoes across this country. Oh Dear has an impressive item 19, with their largest franchisee doing over $4 million a year in revenue. This is a young emerging franchisor, currently 18 locations in the U.S., and they're looking for franchisees that want to go all in. I hope you enjoy the show. Colleen, you're the co-founder. You and Kurt, your husband.
Yes.
Give me the backstory, how you created Oh Dear.
Okay, you ready for this?
I am.
So back in 2006, 2007, my husband worked for about 10 or 15 years in a landscape business with his brother. Shortly after we got married, he moved on to a big landscape design build company, less maintenance oriented. But one thing he always recalled, having worked with his brother that on landscaping, is, you know, you get to a house, you're mowing the lawn, you're weeding the gardens, you're trimming the trees, and you're doing all these things. Mm-hmm. Well, where we live, just west of Boston, we have a major deer problem where the deer come in, they demolish landscapes. And people around here have spent, you know, thousands of dollars on their landscape. So they were less than happy with that. So every time my husband and his brother and this crew would pull out, they'd be like, oh, I forgot to do the deer control. And so it was something that always stuck with my husband. And so when he went to this landscape design build company, in the back of his mind, he was always had this, you know, desire to continue to figure out a way to do deer control. So he started mixing his own all natural potion in our garage, which permeated into the house, which wasn't nice. And at the time I was pregnant with twins and we had a dog, so keeping it all natural was super important to him. And what happened was he reached out to some of his former customers that he used to service with his brother and said, I have this product, I want to try it for, you know, on your property at no charge. And so he did, and he did it part-time for a couple of years, and it worked. And so in 2008, which is kind of interesting, when the world was falling apart, you know, financially.
Housing crisis. Housing?
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Economic crisis.
That's right.
It's like, opened the shower curtain one day and he said, I think I want to take this full time. And I'm like, oh, really? Have you watched the news? And so he said, and I want to call it Oh Dear. And I said, okay. And I thankfully had a full-time job at the time. And he said, I will do anything to make this work. I'll work at Home Depot part-time. I'll do whatever to supplement the income. Oddly enough, he never had to go to work at Home Depot. He put out some yard signs, even when he was doing it part-time. And people were thrilled that somebody was actually focusing on the problem. And it just took off. And about a year later, he started dabbling in the tick and mosquito. And at the time, you know, ticks weren't as prevalent as in the news as they are today.
Right.
And we went to a couple of preschools and, you know, told people about it there. And that took off. But it probably took 3 years for the tick and mosquito control business to overtake the deer control business.
Interesting.
Financially.
Interesting. Yeah. So the root issue is the deer destroy landscaping. This
Correct.
Isn't about diseases yet.
Correct.
It started out with, I'm going to spend tens of thousands of dollars to make my home look beautiful, right? With landscape architects, professional stuff, only to have deer come in, eat apples off the tree, eat all the colorful, you know, flowers. Mm-hmm. So that's how it kind of started, was just destruction. So just in full disclosure, I grew up in Long Island.
Oh, okay.
And I spent my summers on a barrier island called Fire Island.
Yes.
You heard of it?
Fire Island? I've heard of it, yeah.
Really? Okay. So no cars. It's just people and deer.
Okay.
And there is chicken wire, fencing type chicken wire everywhere to prevent the deer from destroying the landscaping, right? That all these people put in these little beach houses. Fast forward, I grew up there as a kid. The deer were everywhere, infested with ticks, infested. I happened to have a sister-in-law living out in the Hamptons. I went to a birthday party for my nephew, and I got bit by a tick in the walking, not through heavy brush. All I did was walk through a very shallow area of dune to get to the beach. Yeah. And I ended up with babesiosis. I ended up getting And when I tell you that I thought I was going to die, I'm not exaggerating. If you have ever heard of babesiosis, the fever is equivalent to malaria.
Yeah.
It was downright frightening. And it's interesting what the parallels of your story about being pregnant. So while I have this, I don't even know what I have. All I know is that I think I'm dying, right? Mm-hmm. I have a 3-month-old in my master bedroom in a crib, right? So I'm like, holy crap, what is happening right now? I ultimately found a doctor who said, I'm going to test you for all these things. And he ended up finding it. Thank goodness there's no long-term effects. I beat it, got over it. But I know all about the importance of killing these things and keeping them away from you, because I went through it. You made another comment a moment ago about franchisees. Mm-hmm. Let's drill down on that in a granular way. Who is attracted to this business? What do your franchisees look like? Are these like horticulturists? Are these people that are really involved in plant life and landscaping? Who are they?
Well, to go back to the beginning of when we started franchising, some of our franchisees are people that we actually knew. So our first franchisee ended up on Martha's Vineyard. He was working at my in-law's house, and he wanted to start his own business. And he's still with us today. I think he's in his 12th or 13th year. He does unbelievable business. And then our second franchisee, my husband knew kind of as a little kid growing up. I mean, he's in his mid to late 30s, and he does very well too. In fact, another franchisee used to work for us. He was a spray tech, and he and his brother partnered up and bought a franchise. So
interesting.
Today, Jeremy can talk more to this, but today we have people that are just sick of sitting behind a desk and, working in the corporate environment, and they just want to be outside and manage their own schedules and, spend time with their kids and their families when they, and schedule their own day.
I love it. So give me like the last 3 deals you did. What are their backgrounds? I mean, just like, career. What are their backgrounds that were attracted to this?
Yeah. So we have a Starbucks manager.
Exactly. That's my point. Exactly.
She went to school for hospitality and decided that hospitality was not ultimately where she wanted to go. We have a franchise broker that recently bought.
Interesting.
We have a corporate consultant that had done private consulting for 30 years and would just sit in his office and stare outside and wish that he was out there instead of in that boardroom. And then we have one of our customers that has been serviced for a long time, another corporate refugee, could not stand his job anymore, and ended up buying the last available territory in Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's he was a CFO.
Really? CFO? Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's validation. Who's attracted to the business? Who are you bringing on? Give us the total investment for the franchise and what's included in that investment.
Yeah, we're 120 to 160.
120, 160. Okay. Yep. Reasonable.
I think it's like 114 and some change to 156 and some change.
Okay.
What's included in that is obviously all of your training, the initial inventory, your equipment to be able to spray, down payment for the truck, all of the marketing materials, things along those lines to get started.
Okay. Talk to me about training. Am I job ready day one? How am I being trained to do this? Give me some idea of what's being discussed at training.
Our training is very comprehensive. So we start out with digital training. They're going through onboarding training with our operations staff. We give them homework to go through. They obviously have to become licensed if their state requires them to be a licensed spray tech. So we kind of guide them through that process, which all culminates into them coming to corporate for hands-on training. So we're getting them out in the field. They're learning all three aspects of our business, the tick, the mosquito, the deer, how to apply it, why to apply it, how to quote, all of that. So that when they go home, they are ready to truly start taking those assessments and kind of garner those clients.
That's great, because you own a corporate location in that area. They're flying to your location. Yes. I think that is fantastic. You know, role playing, I get role playing, but going live, right, out in the field, this is an actual real customer. Those are real questions. Mm-hmm. Those are their real concerns. I think it's great. And this is an issue that happens, the hose length or this length or just little issues, getting access to the property, all these things, you know, acreage. I think it's fantastic that you're doing that. And that's what really would make a franchisee. What are you seeing days to dollar? How quickly can a franchisee get in the field? And it's like, you could get a customer pretty quickly. And how are they marketing, right? What's the, are you doing social media? Are you doing, no, we're hanging door hangers on homes that we know are affected by this stuff. Talk to us a little bit about marketing.
Sure. They do postcard mailers. You know, we're here. Door hangers. Social media, you know, go park the truck somewhere. Mm-hmm. Cause that's one of our, biggest things, you know, how did you hear about us? I mean, granted, some of the locations in Massachusetts, the trucks are all over, but they'll be like, your truck, we see your truck everywhere. Yard signs. So there's a multitude of different ways that they're getting out to the community. And then there's our couple of community initiatives that we have, TIC, our TIC program, which stands for Take Initiative, Check Kids, which we offer up free applications at preschools and nice. Teach them more about TICs and how to find TICs and take a TIC off. And then we have TIC 9, which is Take Initiative, Check Canines. And so we do a lot of the similar stuff for doggy daycares and things of that nature.
That's great. I love it. The brand has a legacy component. It's like, you know, what did you do? I've saved probably a lot of people from getting diseases, right? If you think about it, you're educating people. So I like the legacy component to being a business owner, not just generating revenue.
And you just hit upon an important piece of what we pride ourselves on actually is the education piece. I mean, in the news today, you know, starting mid-March, you know, the news will scare the bejesus out of you as far as ticks are concerned. I mean, it's in the news almost every day, at least here in Massachusetts. And so when our customers, you know, we like to try to talk to every single person that inquires about our service and educate them on, you know, how we're different, what makes us different. And then also if we leave them with one or two little tips, whether they end up signing up for our service or not, on how to, you know, prevent either ticks on their yard or prevent ticks on their body, then, you know, we feel like we're doing a good job. But we don't like to use scare tactics to try to bring on clients. We'd rather educate you to spend more time outside safely versus, you know, scare you to staying inside.
So I like what your approach is. Let them do the fear, right? Mongering. And then you'll just deal with the education component. It's like, okay, I think it's great. Talk to me now about, because we're spending a lot of time on ticks and it's probably not fair to your brand, right? Even though it's Oh Dear is the brand name, there's other services.
Yep.
Let's go through each. If you are a franchisee of Oh Dear, here are your, you know, arrows in the quiver. These are all your services that you offer the homeowner. What are they?
So tick and mosquito control and deer control. And we, in a couple of our locations, we're starting to test out all natural rabbit control.
Wow.
And we also offer a winter tick granular program now. Mm-hmm. It's also all natural, of course. And that just continues to help protect your property throughout the winter months, because ticks don't die in the winter.
Ticks don't die in the winter. Are we killing them, or are we keeping them away from the perimeter of the home, or both?
Kill and repel.
Kill and repel. Got
it. Yeah.
Got it. So we had a pest control brand on in the past, and I did some research. I was blown away by some of these numbers, which is probably why a CFO and a broker bought your brand. Just for the audience, pest control, $26 billion business. Mm-hmm. Terminix alone is $2 billion. Orkin's $2.4 billion. 6,800 employees. When you look at the number of employees in pest control relative to revenue, they're generating $350,000 in revenue per employee. Like that is your head exploding kind of metric in business. Do you know what percentage of your revenue is recurring versus one and done?
Yeah, pretty much all of it.
All of it. Wow. It's remarkable. Let's talk about that. We're on the money piece. Let's discuss item 19. I know Jeremy knows that item 19, like the back of his hand. If he's an FTC compliant kind of guy, he knows his numbers. What's going on in that item 19, Jeremy?
Yeah. So our item 19, our average revenues in our item 19 was $757. And
wow.
So we're doing a little over $750 at our average location. Our lowest location, because we are very transparent here at Odeer, our lowest location was $43,000. We have a franchisee that works the business approximately one day a week and has, you know, two other businesses that he's running. And so, you know, just revenues are not there on that one. And the high end of our scale is over $4 million. So we have a franchisee that has 22 trucks, a territory that he was our second franchisee, a territory that is arguably way too big for what we've kind of determined the right territory is, but it runs a very strong business.
Wow. So over $4 million in revenue, 22 vehicles. What's the staffing model look like for something like that?
So you have the owner and then a general manager. And then I believe he sets it up where he has territory managers. So he has three or four territory managers overseeing. They're in the field, but they're also overseeing people within their territory. And then he's got obviously like human resources bookkeeping person. And then he's got three customer service reps in the height of the season. We don't do any door knocking or anything like that.
He's still an owner operator.
Okay.
And that's important to the entire Odeer infrastructure. That's kind of the only people we're looking for is people that want to start out in their garage and build up to 22 trucks and still be at the helm.
So what's a territory today? Let's talk about what's more important. If I buy a single license from you for the cash investment that you mentioned, what is my territory?
Yeah, so we're going to build you a protected territory that includes at minimum 75,000 single family households.
Okay.
And so we don't go by population. We don't go by total households because you can't, well, you can, but we don't envision a franchisee going out and servicing an apartment complex or a duplex or
single family
along those lines.
I like
so
your
we
metric.
Give you, yeah, yeah, we want to give you as many potential customers as we can so that you can go out and build a large business.
Okay. Love it. Cliff,
to be clear on that too, there are certain demographics that just won't use our service.
Right.
You know, somewhat city type location. So if you're, you know, if your territory surrounds or abuts a city, you know, we don't necessarily include that as part of your 75,000 household.
United, are you looking at household income? Are you looking at the value of the home?
Yeah, our demographic varies significantly between our Ticket Mosquito customer and our Deer customer. I mean, back to when my husband started this, I was like, seriously, I wouldn't spend that kind of money on someone coming to service my landscape. Like, my mother was sitting at a soccer game once when my kids were little and Kurt had just started the business. And she said, well, why don't people just go out and buy another hosta? And she's up here in our territory. I'm like, Mom.
Right.
So they're definitely a group of people that love their landscape, have some extra income, and are willing to put it toward GR control It's becoming a bigger problem anyway, so it's worked out really well. And that Arctic Mosquito client is pretty much everybody. I mean, nobody wants to get a tick bite. Nobody wants to get triple E. So,
yeah,
you know, it's pretty much everybody and they budget for it.
How does the, of the services in order, what is the leader? So in terms of revenue, and maybe you could give me a percentage, like 50% of our revenue comes from mosquito control or tick control. How does the revenue break down as a franchisee?
So for our location, it's definitely, and I would say all locations, tick and mosquito control, which we consider one service, is the leader. And then there's deer control. And I would say for our location, the original location, deer control is probably a third of the business.
Okay.
Maybe more than a third.
You're experts in this. So what is basically a scam? Meaning, does citronella candles work? Right? You know what I mean? No, be yep. honest. It's like, look, if customers want to walk into Lowe's and Home Depot and buy the crap on the counter, this stuff is just, it's a money grab. It doesn't work. What do you know absolutely, unequivocally does not work? Do not buy it. You're wasting your money.
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I look at it this way because everybody's tolerance level is different, right? I mean, we get calls for someone saying, oh, I found one tick. And it's like, well, seriously, when we started servicing your property, you had 20 ticks. I mean,
right.
So we're not going to eradicate every tick. And I just think right. everybody's tolerance level is different. Someone might psychologically think that citronella candle is doing a hell of a job. I don't know. I think at the end of the day, it's the consistency of the service that we provide. You know, every Joe Blow can go out to Home Depot, like you said, and buy their own pump sprayer and have at it. But are they going to be consistent about it? I mean, that's what makes our deer control so successful. Because we show up in the snow, we show up in the rain, you know, not in the rain, but if there's 2 feet of snow on the ground, we're there.
Right.
Regardless.
Right. You know? I love that if I jumped on the call without interviewing you, I would have told you you're a seasonal business. You've managed to navigate around the seasonality of these, which is great. So you're generating revenue year round. You're maintaining. Right. And the example of this guy with 20 plus vehicles, he's not telling his crew in the wintertime, I need to, you know, furlough like half of you. He's not. He's maintaining the crew the entire year. Seasonal businesses are cool. They're very difficult to continuously staff. You're constantly churning your staff. But you don't have that issue, is what I'm hearing.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, as Jeremy said, full transparency. We do let some people, we lay some people off for the winter, but it's a few months. And I will say the last couple of years, we've had great success in most of the people coming back.
Okay.
But we do keep on a pretty decent staff in the winter.
You made a comment on your website about backpack. You just mentioned sprayers. Anyone could go and go get a sprayer. Why do backpack sprayers fall short in this service? And what are you doing if not a backpack sprayer like your competition?
So I think we're probably one of the only ones out there that pull up to your driveway with a 500-gallon tank on the back of our trucks. We've got 400 feet of hose, and we call it the saturation method. You know, probably the smallest property, we're still going to dump 30 to 40 gallons of product onto your property. Wow. One of the great things we do, and this comes from the hose, is the pressure of the hose into the leaves where the ticks like to live. So we do a good job of really turning over those leaves, getting down into the, you know, to where the ticks like to live. We'll spray 6 to 10 feet up into the trees, 6 to 10 feet into the woods.
Okay.
So we do a very thorough job. And when our spray techs leave, it's a great smell and the place is soaked.
It's a great smell?
Yes.
Interesting.
It kind of smells like a spa or root beer or something like that.
Really? Is this something you've done, like an additive?
No.
It naturally smells like that?
Yes. It's the essential oils.
That's crazy. I look at this business and my knee-jerk reaction, like I said, seasonal. So again, this is why I remain open-minded. Well, always, because I'm always wrong, right? These preconceived notions, you're like, seasonal? No. This only works in the Northeast. No, it doesn't, right? So let's talk about someone that's not living in Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, where your area, Mass, the whole New England market. If I'm in Florida, if I'm in Texas, if I'm in, you know, North Dakota, is there a point in time where you're like, this won't work there? Or no, this operates in all 50 states.
I think if they're a deer, he'll say it works. I think if there are ticks, he'll say it works. If there's mosquitoes, it'll work.
Right. Right. Do you have airborne flying insects carrying diseases? Right. You may not have your deer treatment revenue may not be, you know, as high as New England, but maybe do you have anyone operating in a state outside of what we know are high Lyme disease risk states that I kind of mentioned? Anyone operating outside that zone where we're proving the concept to operate outside of New England?
Yeah, we just launched in St. Louis in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. How are they doing?
They're doing good. They just attended training at the beginning of this month. So they're brand new, but they're all out there, you know, getting clients and getting set up and all of that. And the community seemed to be responding very well.
Interesting. I looked up on the CDC. They said 99% of all reported cases of Lyme are New England, Mid-Atlantic, East, North Central, South Atlantic, West, North Central. And they think, I'm like, oh, okay. I thought this was good. 99%. It's like you just described everywhere. They also said that they think that these cases are grossly underreported. And they changed, I guess, the definition, right? They revised the case definition of Lyme. And they said once they did that, there was like a 70% increase in diseases that fit Lyme. Like anything, it's like, you know, words matter,
and
symptoms
it's still
matter.
Interesting how they still don't test for it as often as they should.
Right. And I think that's why they're saying it's underreported.
Babesiosis. Right.
You've heard from some incredible franchise brands right here on the podcast. If you're sitting there wondering which opportunity might be the right fit for you, we're here to help. At Phrenosity, we offer free consulting services to aspiring small business owners just like you. We'll guide you through a focused, strategic process to help you identify the best franchise match. Call or text us at 561-277-3710 or visit us on the web at phrenosity.com. That's phrenosity.com. We look forward to working with you. I also didn't know that all 50 states have mosquitoes. I didn't know this. And and I'm like, wait a minute, is that true about Alaska and Hawaii? And that's the answer is yes, including Alaska and Hawaii have mosquitoes. So I would agree with you. I think that the model will work. And I think that other brands that are in franchising, as you know, they just focus on mosquitoes. They're making a great living on a one-legged stool. That's all they do is mosquitoes. And it's like, that's enough to make a great living. And you're doing all these other services, which I prefer as an entrepreneur. I do prefer multiple legs on the stool. I like multiple services and I like that you're working on other things. What are right now, you're a relatively new franchisor, right? So you're in that growth phase of bringing in people. What are the biggest challenges either as a franchisee in this business, like where are the challenges?
I would say the number one challenge that I see is understanding the importance of marketing. There's a lot of people that have never been in business before don't quite get it out of the gate.
Completely agree with
and
you.
It is a big chunk when you first start out. Like, oh, I'm going to dedicate that much money to getting my name out there, but you get it back in spades. And I would say that's probably the biggest challenge to overcome with new to the market franchisees.
Right. Get out there, hustle, market, press the flesh with people, spread the Bible through the jungle, right? And they don't do it. They like to do busy work and they like to sit in their office. Like, I got to go to Home Depot today and I got to go get a cash box and a backpack sprayer. And you're like, wait a second. You need to obsess over acquiring new customers. That's what you need to obsess over. And unfortunately, a lot of new business owners don't understand the vital few things, the vital three things that they need to be obsessing over.
That is so true.
Right? It's like, did you actually say that out loud and justified it? I'm going to save $800. You're like, you're saving $800. You just lost $80,000 in revenue potential because you're not focused. So that's what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
Not many of them too still don't even know. Like, I don't know how to use social media, but I can scroll through Instagram. And, you know, it was like one of the first things when Facebook, you know, that's the easy one. Invite people to your Facebook page. Like, tell your friends to follow your Instagram page. Those are layups.
I totally agree with you. There's nothing more deceptive than the obvious, right? Do the things you have a circle of friends. Yep. You were in corporate America for 30 years.
Yeah.
You were in this profession. You live in this neighborhood. You were president of the HOA. Your kids went to school here. Like, there's so many things. It's like, you have to know a teacher. You have to know a principal. You have to know an aftercare coordinator, a coach. Like, how do you not know anybody? Like, what have you been doing your whole life? You don't know anyone in the community that you could leverage their collective intelligence, their book of business. Oh, you know who you need to talk to? My buddies over at this university. My friend is the president of an HOA. You know, they have a major problem with their matter of fact, I was on Nextdoor. Look at Nextdoor as an app, another opportunity to get in and infiltrate and get your name out there. It's true. I'm always shocked at how many people talk, and Jeremy, you know this to be true. They talk to you during the sales process and you're sitting there going, I love these people. They're talking about all the ways they're going to generate revenue. And then they go to basic training, go home and do nothing. Mind blowing to me. There has to be a name for this, right? Because there's a name for everything today. There has to be a name for, well, my business partner has a name for it. He calls it Mr. and Mrs. Was Gonna, because they was going to do it, right? They're always going to do something. I was going to do it. I was going to do that. That's a great idea. I was going to do that too. They always have these was gonna moments. It's like, just don't be Mr. and Mrs. Was Gonna. Just get shit done. Get it done. Yeah. Fight like hell to win. Protect your investment. Get out there. Make it rain. Acquire customers. And you literally have to have an obsession over getting new customers. And I don't see that obsession enough with new franchisees. I'm sorry. And that's why one guy's doing 40 grand and one guy's doing 4 million.
And it is funny. I mean, back to when my husband started the business, and now I'm really going to date myself. But back then, like, there wasn't any Facebook, you know, and we somehow stumbled upon like the U.S. Postal Service direct door mailer.
Exactly.
And just started randomly sending out. We picked, you know, targeted times of the year to send out postcards, but nobody told us to do that. It seemed like, how else is anybody going to know you're out there?
That's exactly right.
It's crazy. And I will say that some of our franchisees that gave us a little bit of Jeremy didn't make this particular sale because he wasn't with us. Yes. But they, yes, all the way through $30,000 marketing. Yes. Just like you were saying. And then I got to spend what on postcards? And then we finally got them to send out the postcards and it rained customers. And they're like, wow, that really worked. Well, yes. People know you exist now.
It is.
Oh, dear is here.
It's very interesting, isn't it? Or they'll do one marketing idea and they didn't get the response. But like that sucks. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's like the art of marketing is reach and frequency. How many people did you reach? How frequently do you reach them? If you think you can send out one mailer and just change your life in terms of, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
We live in a time where everyone is time starved. They're distracted, right? Not buying trailers in neighboring states. That's not in there. Not cruising the aisles of Home Depot. Like literally just playing traffic. You'll get hit and start building a business. You are experiencing the same issues that every brand is experiencing. Franchisees overpromise, underdeliver, and they talk a very good game in the sales process until they actually buy it and get in the field.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is ego driven, a lot. And I don't think enough franchisors do enough like training on this and
ego overcome training.
it. It really is. It when if you actually define ego, define it. It's interesting how, why are you not doing what you know you're supposed to do? The answer is this: I'm afraid. I'm nervous. What if I fail? What will my peers think? What will my spouse think? My kids are watching me. It's like, dude, you're failing now, right? Mm-hmm. You're worried about doing a video on TikTok about the deers or videotaping your staff spraying because you're embarrassed. When I tell you it's nearly all ego driven. Once someone gets over doing what you're doing now, is this comfortable? No, it's not. Is this let's be honest. Is this comfortable? No. Colleen's probably like, I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it for my brand because I want to get my brand exposure. Right, Jeremy? It's not comfortable. Yeah. Did you really, Jeremy?
I did. Yeah.
It's super important. And look, once you get through it and then you get enough of these under your belt, it's like, oh, interesting. Like, I don't fear it anymore. I don't have the apprehension I used to have anymore. And that's what franchise need to do. They need to do selfies, which I call lonelies, but let's call them selfies, right? Take a video of yourself. Get past the ego. Get past all that stuff. And I'm telling you, life will improve instantly. Instantly. It's remarkable. The ego of all of us is what really holds us back from doing remarkable things. My attitude.
Colleen, we talk about this all the time, but Josh in Central Virginia is,
oh my God,
if you want to follow a really fun Instagram account for Oh Dear, our Central Virginia account, the owner is just having a blast with his business.
Yeah.
And is all over the trends on Instagram. And
yeah, he's hilarious.
I love it. That's textbook. And everyone should try and emulate him.
Yeah.
Right. That's the guy you put on the panel at your next annual convention and just really expose. Like, that's how you do it. Right. Of course, you've got your $4 million guy. He's certainly going to want to be up there, but everyone has their thing, right? His keys to success may be different from the social media play. It may be different from our, you know, customer service play, promotions, guarantee, all that stuff. It's a million ways to do this.
Full disclosure on Josh, though. I don't think he has any teenage girls, so he's allowed to do the things that he does on Instagram. My girls would kill Kurt and me if we did any of the things he was doing.
That's 100% embarrassment. Dad, don't embarrass me. That's rule number one with teenage
there
girls.
You go, right
there. Don't embarrass me. It's like, all right, so now I can't build my business the level I want to because you're going to be embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then they end up becoming the inherited this brand.
Yeah.
And then they'll be on there doing all this stuff. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
You have a really cool concept. I think you're giving back to community, society. I like the legacy play. You're helping people avoid really devastating diseases. Lyme's disease, like, you will live with that the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Like, that's it. We've got a family member with Lyme's disease. There's no cure for it. They just live with these things. And it is. So it is a horrible disease. So I like what you guys are doing. You're building sustainably. Brokers don't want to hear this, but let's be honest. I love the fact that you're bringing on owner operators. You want people to dedicate their full time and attention to building the brand, where a lot of brands are like, nah, you could do this semi-absentee. Don't worry about it. The success rate just isn't there. I'm sorry. Leaving your business to chance to an employee is not exactly the safest way to go unless you're going to be involved. There's nothing wrong with managing the manager, but someone's got to be managing someone, right?
Right.
So I do like the way you're building the brand. I think you're going to build it sustainably. You can have a solid foundation of franchisees. Anything I didn't ask that you think is important? It's like, listen, I have this opportunity. I have this platform. Anything that you'd like to just mention before we wrap it up?
No, I mean, this was fun, easier than I thought it was going to be.
Thank you. Jeremy, anything on the sales side? Anything you want to mention?
Not really. Who we're looking for is people that are passionate. If you're interested in business that you can put your passion to work for you and enjoy time outside, have a chat with us. We want to chat with anybody.
And I think moms, I mean, I know we just signed up. Well, we didn't mention this, but the couple in Ohio are a mother-daughter team. So our first female franchisee team, which is terrific. And I think, you know, with mothers. They're focused on their kids and reading labels and all those things for wellness. I think some mother teams would be awesome at this business.
Absolutely.
They'd be super passionate about it. And that's one thing that I find about our franchisees. You know, they're all in. They're all in the all natural piece of it. They definitely believe what we're doing. So that's what's making them so successful.
That's great. Love it. Yeah. This was excellent. It's insightful. I liked getting to know your brand, getting to know you both. I appreciate your time today. This was fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We'd love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.